today on Real Radio.
And Jesus at the end of that three hours, says at the third hour, or at 3 o'clock, when the darkness was coming to an end, Jesus said, "It is finished." That ought to give you goosebumps. It's done. Paid the price in full. Debt canceled. World forgiven.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called When God Rewards, is in the book of 2 Thessalonians, talking about chapter 1, verses 5 through 12. The Apostle Paul wrote his second letter to the Thessalonian church because of his deep concern for their hardships, and he wanted to encourage them. This young church needed the grace and the peace in their lives that only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. They continually faced persecution, so Paul wanted to remind them that difficulties are a part of their journey as a Christian. But the time will come when Jesus will be glorified and they will be forever with the Lord. Today, Pastor Jack shows how the prayers of Paul gave strength to those who were suffering for Christ. He prayed for their walk to be focused on Christ. He prayed for the Lord to be glorified in their witness. And he prayed for power to keep them strong in their faith. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
And an interesting thing, too, they do not believe in hell. Isn't that convenient? Oh, you know, follow them all kinds of ways. Make your own way. Follow good. There's many ways to God. It's true. Every road leads to God. Everyone does. Everybody's going to stand before God in one day. Every road leads to God. You want to ask the key question. You know, you get smart by asking questions. You know, that's how they evaluate your intelligence. You ask a lot of questions? Ask. And here's the question you should ask. Will this message get me to heaven? Because all roads lead to God, but does all roads lead to heaven? Do all roads lead to heaven? No, only one. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets to the Father but through me." That's a truth. They don't obey the gospel. Look at verse 9. These, who? Those in verse 8. The people in verse 8 shall be punished with, what does it say? Does it say everlasting destruction in your Bible? Can you believe it? It even says that? You know what the word everlasting destruction means? It means everlasting destruction. Because there are people who say, no, that can't be. Listen, they're good Christians. Maybe they're sitting in this room today. They're saying, that can't be. There is no way that my God, who I love, is going to allow somebody to be in torment forever. Listen, I don't like it myself. I don't like it myself, but I know my God enough to know that He's reasonable and fair and just and holy and good. It does say in many portions of Scripture, it is forever the punishment, which causes me to think for a minute, if that is the end of those who reject Jesus and reject His gospel, if that is their end, then what kind of a ball game are we playing in anyway? Is there a lot more at stake than I perceive? Is sin much greater than I have thought it is? Could it be that when evil is done on this earth, that it's just as evil in heaven and in front of God? Could it be that the price that Jesus paid on the cross was so great and can save you so much that what is fair, just, righteous, and good demands everlasting pain? That's the conclusion I have to come to. I'm not talking about you. I must have been so bad as a sinner until June 27, 1977, when God saved me. I must have been so bad as a sinner that you couldn't die for me. Gabriel couldn't die for me. Neither could Michael, the archangel. Jesus came and died for me. I was that bad. I had a nice car. I had a great paying job. I had girls. I had money. I looked good on the outside, and God looks on the inside. And He says, "Man, you are dead. You're naked. You're sick. You're corrupted. You're selfish. And Greg Laurie laid that on me Monday night. And I died that night, thank God. Because that's the night I began to live. You see, the Bible says it's forever. That means the price that was paid must have been tremendous, and we can't even fathom what God did on the cross for us. It says what it says. And He's going to recompense. He's going to pay them for what they've done. He didn't make them do it. And here's the saddest thing of all. It says, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. People, listen to this carefully. Verse 9 says this. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Doesn't it sound like the destruction is going to come out from the presence of the Lord and consume them? Or doesn't it sound like that? They're going to be destroyed eternally from the presence of the Lord. The word means, and this is the hell of hells. Can you believe this? This is where God does not want you to go. This is where He put His Son at the focal point of humanity so you don't go there. Jesus said, hell is a place where you tread water in a place called the lake of fire, and your head's just above water, and the water's all on fire. The flames are burning. Jesus said, it's a place where the worm does not die. It constantly consumes you. Everlasting means everlasting. Destruction here means an everlasting destruction that never comes to an end. There's always enough to experience more destruction. It is a place so horrible and hideous. It's a place that the Bible says is absolute outer darkness. Oh man, I had a guy tell me not too long ago, I'm going to party there with my friends in hell. I said, it's a lake of fire. He goes, thought he was cute. I'm going to get asbestos water skis, dude. There's no friends there. You're in outer darkness, absolute isolation. And here's the part that drives me nuts. Jesus says it's a bottomless pit. You're forever falling. I hate that feeling. I can fly airplanes and have a good time doing it. And we're going over in a storm, and I love it. I just like the cups flying and people hanging on. I think it's kind of cool. Great time to give a message when the flight is like, you know, wings on that thing. I don't mind that. There's a bunch of people came to first service and they went to Magic Mountain today. You know what they're going to do? They're going to go to this one ride. It's called, I think it's called the Free For All or Dropout or whatever it's called. I think that ride's from hell. Whoever thought of that ride? And they strap you in that thing and they push you out and down. And there's lunches coming out all over the place. And they come down to the end and they go, oh, isn't that great? That's nuts, man. That's sick. Let's go do it again. What if you got into that baby and it never stopped? And you say, now, Jack, I'm having a hard time with this here. Because you know what? You said that God loves, but there's this hell place. Why did he create that? Some guy by the name of Lucifer, in heaven, God's top dog, top angel, sinned through pride. The Bible says that God removed him from heaven and he drew 1/3 of the angels with him. It's a lot. We don't know how many, but 1/3. And it says that he created hell for the devil and his angels. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't take an Albert Einstein to figure out, was hell created for humans? Nope. It was created for angels who stood in the presence of God, and when they rebelled against God, it is the worst torment that they can ever have. But then man comes along and continues to reject God, reject God, reject God, because rebellion is rebellion. Pride is pride. I will not come to God. Frank Sinatra and I will do it our way. We'll save ourselves. And God says, I can't have it. I'm holy. In Habakkuk 1:13, he says, behold, my eyes are pure that I cannot behold evil. He can't look at it. Jesus hung on the cross, and for a space of 3 hours, from noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus, the earth begins to shake and the sky turns black, and read it carefully. It's a blackness that could be felt. It wasn't some little wimpy eclipse. And while Jesus was hanging there on the cross, I believe the fulfillment of 2 Corinthians 5:21 was going on. Behold, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I call that the great exchange. Jesus was on the cross. God lays on him the iniquity of us all. And the sky and the heavens turned jet black. And Jesus at the end of that at 3 o'clock, when the darkness was coming to an end, Jesus said, "It is finished." That ought to give you goosebumps. It's done. Paid the price in full. Debt canceled. World forgiven. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. He dies. Can you imagine? I'm going to die right now. Only God can do that. So we could go free. The destruction from his presence is forever. This morning, and we'll wrap this up very quickly here. This morning you might be saying, you know what? I can't stand this message. I really don't like you. I came here because somebody's taking me to Mimi's afterwards. And you know what? Whoever you are this morning, you are so blessed by God and you don't even know it. You don't even know it. I don't even believe in him. You will, but you're still blessed by God. Yeah, I don't think so. Listen, God made you in your mommy's womb. He put your genes together. Buttoned them up or stitched them up or plugged them together. He did it. When you came out of your mother and drew your first breath, God gave the power to your lungs. In your life, you may be saying, oh, Jesus this, and God this, and damn the other, and Christ this, and he's the one that has been with you all along. Can you imagine? He's been standing alongside you all your life. And he could have, in a moment, just, you know what? I've had enough of you, man. I'll take your... That's what I would have did, you know. Yesterday, we were going to L.A., and I had a bunch of people over at the house. We were going there for a play. And we're kind of dressed up a little bit, going this nice thing. And our little dog, we've got the most born-again dog you've ever seen in your life. He's just the most precious thing. 4.5-pound Yorkshire Terrier. He's just the greatest. And we're all, hey, how you doing? Oh, hey, how are you doing? And he takes off, and he never does this, but he runs up the street. We didn't even see him. He runs up the street, and so we're, okay, let's go. Okay, where's the dog? I don't know. Make sure he's in the house. Maybe he's in the house. So we're going, where is he? Eh? So now people, grown people, adults, dressed up. Scruffy! In the neighborhood. Scruffy! So I said, you know what? This is nuts. Let's just go. We're going to be late. Forget the dog. We've forgot him before. He'll sit in the yard. He does it. I mean, we left for like 18 hours one day, and he sat in the yard. We were at Disneyland and out to dinner. And he just waits. He's a good guy. He'll wait. And so, just at that moment, in fact, we said, you know what, Lord, this is a true story. Lord, in Jesus' name, we ask you to find the dog so we can get going. And this guy goes, hey, the dog's up here. I mean, I didn't get done praying it yet. So a friend of ours up there grabs the dog, and he's just totally four or five houses up. He's just partying at this house. He's like, and he, oh, oh, and she picks him up, and if you could just read their mind, it's like, oh, man, this is so great, oh, oh, oh. And he's all happy, and then he sees me coming with a paper, with a newspaper rolled up in my hand. And he's like, oh. And I told the lady, I said, he's got to get spanked for this. And what? Get out of here. And I put him on the grass, and I said, that is absolutely wrong. And I just started thumping his buns, you know, a little bit. You know, they're only like the size of a Twinkie. And spanked him, and I said, now get home. And he's running home, and just for emphasis, I threw the newspaper at him, and he kind of like, oh! And he goes into the house. Now, why did I spank my dog? Am I a dog hater? No. Am I a dog abuser? No, I love my dog. I love that little guy. He's so much fun. Because I loved him, I brought judgment on his life. Good night. Thanks for coming. He was judged. I love him, but I had to judge him. Why? I don't want him doing that again. He'll get killed. I won't do that to your dog. I could care less about your dog. It's your dog. But it's my dog. And because it's my dog, I'm going to take care of my dog. And God says, you know what? Your life, man, you've been going through that. You've been living your life without me, and I love you. And this stuff that's been going on in your life, I've been allowing it to go on. Oh, don't get me wrong, God says. All this, when you lick the wall socket, you'll get shocked, but I allowed you to lick it. You stick your finger in that thing, you're going to get hurt. And I allowed you to stop. I didn't stop you. You want to do your own thing. Oh, let me have it. Come on, I just want it. Oh, I got to have it, got to have it. So you get it, and then it blows up in your face. And God says, hey, I didn't want you to have it. You parents, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Oh, you got to have one. Dad, please, please, please. You don't eat it. Please, please. And then it breaks their heart. And God's the same way. He won't violate you, but now you've reached a point in your life where you say, I'm sick of my life. I need a change. It's just a dead end. And God all the while has been waiting. Good, I'm glad to hear that. But there will come a day when you and I will die and time will be up. And you will fall into the category of these who did not know God or did not obey the gospel of God. And Paul prays in verses 11 through 12. He says, therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified. Beautiful word, in you and you in him. I just want you to be a witness, the Lord's saying. And here's how it happens. According to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, it's alarming to our souls to think that we could maybe play with you when we see events recorded in history and in the Bible where Pharaoh himself attempted to kill all the Hebrew babies, drowning them in the Nile. And Lord, how you repaid his evil and drowned his entire army in the water. Lord, we think of Haman who plotted to kill the Jews by hanging them in the Old Testament days, and yet he himself was hung upon the very gallows that he had built. Recompense, payment. You repaid them. And Lord, how in Daniel's day, King Darius had his counselors who said, anybody who bows or who does not bow to the image will be cast into the lion's den. And how interesting in that chapter of Daniel, the very attorneys and counselors that gave that bit of news wound up being eaten by lions themselves. God, we understand this morning a little bit more that the scripture says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But oh, how awesome and free and exciting it is to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, to be freed from all wrath and vengeance and judgment that's coming, to not even have it come in our direction because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, taking the penalty for us. And so today in this sanctuary, there are people who are going to bear the brunt of your judgment and be consumed forever. And God, it breaks your heart. You hate that. And then there are those in here, Lord, who just like me, just came in right by the skin of their teeth, right in there underneath the wire. And have passed from judgment to life. And Lord, we're at the crossroads this morning. Every heart in this place in a moment will choose Christ or reject Christ. And I pray that you'd give those who do not yet know him personally the strength to say yes to him. While we're remaining in an attitude of prayer, Jesus teaches us in the Gospels that you are either for me or you're against me. To remain neutral, Jesus says, is to vote against him. In a moment, if this building was going down, say this was a ship and it was going down, there was one boat labeled Jesus and one boat with a bunch of holes drilled in it labeled you, which one would you jump into? Which one would you choose to get into today? One will save you from your sin, the other one will take you down with your sin. Where are you today? You could meet God today. Are you ready to meet Him? I'm going to ask you right now, those of you who would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, nobody looking around, please have courtesy for those who are making a decision today. You would like to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life. Why don't you put your hand up right now and I'll pray for you and I'll lead you into prayer actually with others today. God bless you. God bless you too. You're choosing Christ right now. I won't do this right now, but I could ask every Christian to raise their hand right now. They've already received Jesus. And then I can ask those that have just raised their hand, keep your hand up. And then where would that leave you? Somewhere in the middle? No, it would leave you somewhere on the outside. And I'm just a mere little man. I have no authority to do that. Where would you be today? Anyone in this last moment right now, this last request, would you accept Christ today as your Savior? The Bible says you do it publicly. Jesus called all those that He shared with publicly. Would you receive Him today? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray now that you give them the boldness to pray this prayer with their brothers and sisters now. Christians, I want you to help them along and repeat this prayer. The prayer won't save you, but you said, I'm going to receive Him today. And that puts your hand up. And now that same will is going to say, I'm going to repeat those words. The words don't save you, but faith in Christ today is what brings you to His salvation. Repeat this after me. Help them out. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I ask you to save me today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take away my past. Give me a new heart. Jesus, I give you all that I am. I ask now for all that you are. Jesus, save me. Make me your child. Lord, I thank you for saving me now. For I believe you died and rose again for me. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called When God Rewards. Thanks for listening and be encouraged. God will bring fulfillment of all His good pleasure to those who believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, you know, if you just made a decision for Christ and you want to get hold of a pastor maybe to talk through it and find out, you know, what to do next, why don't you give us a call at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Make sure to give us a call. Get in touch with us so we can help you get pointed in the right direction. And before we let you go today, I want to remind you about our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It's a great website, real easy to point and click around and get what you need from Real Radio. We've got a lot of resources there. We've got sermons, we've got YouTube, we've got the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. That's a great app for you to spend some time on. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Now, do you get our Real Life devotions? Shows up in your email inbox every Monday. A lot of folks write into us telling us that the Real Life devotions really make a big difference throughout the week. It's the kind of thing where, you know, if you're sitting in the doctor's office or waiting at the post office, something like that, you can access your email and go look at the Real Life devotions from Pastor Jack. He covers all sorts of different topics, and a lot of folks are really, really happy with the Real Life devotions. You can simply go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, have a look at the devotions, and listen, when you're done with that, go to your app store, whether you're on Apple or Android or whatever. Go to the app store and get the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. That's a real easy way to access everything that is Real Radio. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.